Open your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Chapter 28 is the last chapter. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there should be one in the pew. Everybody there? Matthew 28, we're going to start in verse 18. Let's see if that's working. Good. Okay, you give it. This is not the sermon I intended to preach at 10 o'clock, so we're going to go on an adventure together. The sermon that I intended to preach was on Galatians 3, starting in verse 23, and actually it's a pretty darn good sermon. I preached it at 8 o'clock, and if you would really like to hear some good exegesis of the Greek in Galatians, and I mean that very seriously, to find out why Paul says there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male nor female, what his point is in saying all of that, I encourage you to pick up a copy of the tape from 8 o'clock. In fact, Chris, would you take the 8 o'clock tape and make copies of it, please, and put them out so that people can have it? There are no labels for the tapes this week, so he'll just have to write on them, and I forgot to make labels. So, in any event, there will be some there. I encourage you, if you're really interested in knowing about Galatians, and you should be, we'll make some tapes, and you can hear that pretty good sermon, but not the one I'm going to preach now, okay? Matthew 28, 18. I need somebody to hold this out here for me. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." This is what is known historically. This is the 8 o'clock sermon there. This is what is known historically as the Great Commission. And I'd like to just start with that idea of commission. Anybody know what commission means? See, that's the problem. You get a bar, you're right. Authority. When you're commissioned as a lieutenant or a captain, or a major, or a general, it means that you are given a symbol of your authority, but more importantly, you are given responsibility and authority. You are given power. That's what it means to be commissioned. This is called the Great Commission, because Jesus was commissioning his disciples, giving them power and authority. The Great Commission doesn't mean assignment, like a homework assignment, like, here's your task, go and do this. It means to be given power and authority to do something. When a soldier is commissioned for the king, he is given the king's power and authority to do the job that he's been assigned by the king. That's what it means to be commissioned. That's why this is called the Great Commission. But it was named that when people still knew what commission meant. So I'm telling you, commission means to be given power and authority. Okay? Start there. This is the Great Commission. And look at what Jesus says as he begins this. He says, "All authority," the word in Greek is actually power, "all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus says that about himself. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The very next sentence in Greek begins, "Go! Go!" In Greek, actually, it means, "Get going!" Jesus says, "Get going! Therefore!" And what does that "therefore" refer to? The power that's been given to Jesus. That's the referent for the "therefore." He says, "Therefore, go. All power has been given to me. Therefore, you go." And what does he tell him to do? "Make disciples of all nations." The word nations in Greek really means all people, every kind of person, everyone on the face of the earth. Go and make disciples of all of them. And what does the word disciples mean? In its root, the word disciple does not refer to someone who merely sits at the feet of a teacher and takes notes. It means someone who learns how to do something by use and practice. That's what it means in the root. To learn to do by use and practice. Practice. And so Jesus has just said, all power has been given to me. Therefore go and teach people by use and practice. In all nations. And then a really important expression here, which I don't think we understand anymore in our day and age. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll spend a minute on that. First of all, let me go back to the beginning and go through a couple of the pieces of Greek in here. When he begins, all authority in, the Greek word for in there is en. You would write it en in English. And it means in. All authority in heaven or through heaven. And on earth, the word there in Greek is epi, would be E-P-I in the English. It means upon or on top of. The earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in. It's not en this time. The word in Greek is eis. You would write it E-I-S if you were to write it in the English words. It doesn't mean in, it means into. Important difference. Important difference. The word in Greek means into. And some translations will actually say that. In fact, if you go back and look at the Galatians passage, Paul talks about our being baptized into Christ. Same word, eis, in Greek. Important distinction. And here's why it's important. Baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. First, let me tell you, before I talk about what baptizing means, let me talk about what into the name means. Some of you have heard me talk once before about Marco Polo. When Marco Polo went to China, he was there during the time of Kublai Khan, who followed Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan conquered most of China. Kublai Khan finished the job and was regent over all of China. Had great power, had absolute power and authority. He was the regent in China. Whoever he said died, died. Whoever he said lived, lived. When he said build, things were built. When he said tear down, things were torn down. When he said go, people went. When he said come, people came. Kublai Khan had absolute authority in China throughout the whole region. When Marco Polo went there, he met with Kublai Khan in his court. And he was given a document. I actually think it was a little piece of silver, if I remember my history correctly, on which was written by Kublai Khan, "This man travels in my name." Signed Kublai Khan. And what that meant for every single person to whom Marco Polo showed that was, I travel with the power and the authority of Kublai Khan. The equivalent for us today, which is very weak, is very thin in our day, is power of attorney. When someone is getting older and are concerned about the continuation of their competency, they might give power of attorney to their children, to one of their children, son or a daughter. That means that that son or daughter can do anything that that parent could do with full power and authority. Sell the house, buy another house. Sell the stocks, buy stocks. Give it away, anything. They have the power of the person who assigned the authority. When a person is commissioned in the army, they are given the authority in a kingdom of the king to act in the king's name. And if a general says, take that town, the soldiers get up and they take the town because he operates in the name of the king, with the power and the authority of the king. And so what Jesus is saying here is baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is a very profound expression in the Greek, which means with the power and the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just like Marco Polo could walk into a village and he showed the symbol of his power and authority, and he could say, tear this village down, and they would have to tear the village down. He could say, raise up a new village over there. He could say, give this woman in marriage to this man, and it would be done. Because he had the power and authority of the Khan, of the King of China. That's what this expression means. We miss this and think, now, baptism in the church, it does mean a sign and symbol. It's a sacrament. The definition of a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual truth. And so when we baptize people in the church, what we are saying is we are making an outward sign and symbol of something spiritual which goes on inside. But we sometimes get stuck, I think, and believe that that sacrament is what baptism is about. It's not. Now we'll go to baptism. There are two words in the Greek which means something like baptized. There's one which is bapto, and there's another which is baptizo. The difference is this. There was a physician named Nicander who lived about 200 BC. He was a poet and a physician. And he wrote a recipe for making pickles. And in writing the recipe for making pickles, he said, the first thing you do is you take the vegetable and you dip it in boiling water. Bapto. Whether it was a cucumber or a carrot or a pepper or whatever, the first thing you do is you bapto it, you dip it in boiling water. And then you baptize it in vinegar. Baptizo. And that means you put it into the vinegar, and what does the vinegar do? It transforms the vegetable. It soaks into every cell of the vegetable. It changes it completely. And if you bit a cucumber, or you bit a carrot, or you bit a pepper, which had been pickled, you knew it had been pickled. You still got a little of the character of the original, of the carrot or the pepper or the cucumber. The character of the original was there, but every cell had been transformed by the vinegar. Gave it punch. That's the word baptize. And so when Jesus says, go out into the world and make disciples, teach them by use and practice about the power and authority which I have. And then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's saying, take them and plunge them into the power of God so that it soaks into every cell of their body and they are transformed. They are changed utterly. Their original character, the way I made them, is still there, but every part of them has been changed. It's been soaked. It's been marinated. It's been pickled. It's been overwhelmed. It's been imbued. It's been soaked. It's been shot through with my character, the character of the Spirit. That's what happens in a person when they are baptized, when they are really baptized. Baptism does not just mean put in water. That's the symbol that we use to show what it is that's going on. But what's really going on is the infusion of the Holy Spirit into our lives. The Spirit Jesus promised that would make us a temple. He doesn't live in a little hollow inside us. He lives in every single cell. That's what baptism means. To be baptized into the power of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To be infused with the Spirit. Now, I will tell you a scary story for some of you. Years ago, before I met my wife, where's my wife? Before I met my honey, about 1970, I was living, 1969, early 1970, I was living in a little bachelor apartment in Hollywood. One-room apartment, didn't even have a bedroom. And I woke up one morning, wasn't even a Christian at the time, which just goes to show that the Holy Spirit engages in wide extracurricular activity in order to lead us to the one who saved us. And I woke up one morning with a Latin expression in my head. Now, I don't know Latin at all. I've never studied Latin. But I woke up with this expression in my head, incarnan debuti. And I went, what the heck does that mean? No idea. I mean, it sounded like Latin, but I had no idea what it meant. So I began calling around to try to find somebody who knew Latin. And I called a Catholic church in Los Angeles. And I managed to get a hold of an old Catholic priest, retired, I think, and said, I woke up this morning with this expression, which I think is Latin, in my head. And I said it to him, and I said, but I don't know what it means. And the first thing that he said was, well, do you want me to certify this as a miracle? And I said, no, I just want to know what it means, you know, tell me what this means. And he said, well, it's not modern Latin. It's actually very, very old Latin. You'd have a hard time looking this up anywhere. What it means is the flesh must be infused with the Spirit of God. And I knew when he said that, that what that meant was the flesh must be infused with the Spirit. Not that there is, here we are, sort of corporal beings, human beings, and then there's this little part of our life, I referred to it last week as shelf number 7, labeled Sunday, that we keep our Bibles on. And, you know, once a week we take the Bible off that shelf, and then we're sort of Christians for a while. But the rest of our life, eating, sleeping, waking, going to work, doing other things, we're not really Christians. We might admit to it if somebody asked, but we don't live it as if it has filled every cell of our body. It's sort of over here on the side. It's one of our activities rather than our identity and our character. And what this sense of the flesh must be infused is that we must be soaked in it, pickled, so that that character and that taste of God is there in everything that we do. Now, roll forward to this morning. I've spent the last many weeks completely fried, tired, worn out, too many things to do, not enough time to do them, not enough people to do them. Too many responsibilities, not enough energy, and I just feel like I've been ground down week after week after week. And we've finally, at the encouragement of my wife, who knows me better than I do very often, we've decided we're going to take a vacation next week, not this coming, but the following, because she said, you're getting really cranky. And this is a true statement. So this morning, I'm in between services, and I'm getting ready to come in here and preach and celebrate and so on. And Mary Beth and Marilyn came back in the room, and they said, you know, we were praying over in the parish house. Is that where you were? And the Lord just really laid it on our heart that we need to come and pray for you because you're worn out. And he told us you're worn out, and you really need to be prayed for. And I said, okay. So if anything, I'm a love prayer. So they prayed for me. And as they were praying for me, Mary Beth said, the flesh must be infused with the Spirit. 28 years it took for that message to come through. The flesh must be infused with the Spirit. Glory to God is right. This is the technical term we use for this is confirmation. And it's the way the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't tell Jack one thing and me another. He tells us both the same thing. And he does it in ways that we can confirm his presence to each other. He tells Mary Beth the same thing he told me, except that he gives it to her in English. Does she? Well. So there you have it. Look at Matthew 28 at the very end here. We've been told how it is that God works. All power and authority is given to Jesus. He tells his disciples, in effect, to take that power and authority. They're being commissioned. That means to be given power and authority. They're being empowered. And they're sent out to the whole world, every last one of us, to teach us about God, to teach us to live in the Spirit, to teach us to live in His power and authority by use and practice. You see, been coming to our prayer classes on Wednesday night, we're practicing praying. If this is a strange concept, we need to rethink how it is we learn to do things. You're not born knowing how to pray. You have to learn how to pray just like you learn how to walk and talk and everything else. And I promise when you learn, it gets very rich. Very rich. A disciple is someone who learns by use and practice to operate in the power of God and to be baptized, filled with that Spirit, pickled with the Spirit of God, so we take on His character and flavor in everything that we do, every way we live. And then finally, Jesus says about all of those that we are to make disciples and teaching them to obey. In Greek, it's hold fast. Hold fast to everything I have commanded you. And He says, and surely I will be with you always. In the Greek, it says, I am always. I am is a statement of Godhood. It's what the Lord said to Moses, I am that I am. You look for all the I am statements that Jesus makes in the New Testament. Every one of them is a declaration of His divinity. And that's what He's doing here. He declares His divinity. He says, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age, of the ages. This is the message of Christ to every one of us. In this passage of Scripture that we heard this morning, it is so full of the Spirit. The Spirit with which He wishes to infuse the flesh of His people. That every moment of life is lived with His flavor and His Spirit.